Amen. Our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 and 29. Before I get into this, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your presence, for your care. We ask you for this moment that you're able to open up our hearts, our ears, our minds to receive all it is that you have for us. Help us to hear what you have to say, that our hearts may be enlightened, that our lives may be lived in your love. And we thank you for this act of grace on your part, that you don't just let us wander this world not knowing where to go, but you lead and guide us through your word. And so, Lord, we pray we follow. Use us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 19, 28 and 29. Hear now God's word. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Think bigger. So our scripture today is a well-known one, and well, maybe the scripture is not well-known necessarily, but our day of celebrating is well-known, Palm Sunday. We all know what Palm Sunday is about, at least probably for the most part. We've been celebrating Palm Sunday for as long as we can remember, and everyone is excited to, well, if you're able to make your little palms into crosses. I'm not able to do that unless I have scissors and glue. Then I can make my little palms into crosses. Chris, however, as she's showing those who are here, can make her palms into crosses, I think. But that's okay. Palm Sunday. So here's the story of Palm Sunday, just kind of in a nutshell. Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey, a colt, and as he was entering Jerusalem, the people were waving palms in the air, laying their cloaks on the ground, and shouting, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And of course, this was a day of great celebration, a day of wonderful excitement, but not everyone was super happy. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they were a little worried, and rightly so. I mean, they had kind of a pragmatic mind. They were under Roman rule, and they thought that this upheaval could draw the attention of the Roman centurions, and they could put down this quote-unquote riot the way that the Romans do things. So they wanted things to quiet down. And they told Jesus and his disciples this out of worry. And Jesus' response was, if the people don't celebrate, don't cry out, then the rocks and the trees will cry out. Now, Jesus is letting us in on a little secret, which we'll get to a bit later when he says that. I will admit, and I probably admit this before, I have trouble with Palm Sunday. I've always had. Palm Sunday is a great day of rejoicing and celebration. It's a time to thank God for Jesus sitting on the throne, coming into his kingdom. In fact, this Palm Sunday is the first day of Passion Week. Passion Week runs from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. So the celebration on both ends, they're bookend nicely. Celebration on the first day, celebration on the last day. It's all that stuff in the middle that's hard to handle. Jesus being betrayed on Monday, Thursday, Jesus dying on the cross on Good Friday. And so for me, Palm Sunday is always sort of tainted. The same people who cry out, Hosanna into the highest, are the same people who cry out, crucify him. Or if they're not the same people who cried out, crucify him, at the very least, are the same people who didn't say anything in defense for Jesus during that time. But I mean, let's be honest, I have a hard time celebrating anything. When I was 9 years old in Port View, when they were celebrating their centennial at that time, and all the fireworks were going off in the air, I was crying because I was afraid they were spending too much money. So Palm Sunday is very tough for me anyway. But I think that the one thing about Palm Sunday that we have in common with those who were celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry is that we think too small. I say that because of this. As Jesus was riding in on the donkey, they were celebrating. And rightly so, they should have been. Jesus even tells them, like we said, if they quit, the rocks and the trees will continue. So it's worth celebrating. But what they were celebrating is a political thing. This king coming into his kingdom. Jesus about to make a stand against the Roman government. Jesus about to rally the people so that they fight Rome and get their independence so that they can be an independent nation from that point on. Jesus, the new king in the line of David, a new king to be celebrated for all the generations to come. This is what they were celebrating. But they weren't right. They were thinking too small. Jesus wasn't coming as just a king for one nation. But as we read our scripture today, Jesus, the Son of Man, was coming to seat on his throne in glory. Jesus tipped his hand a little bit. I don't think he was hiding anything. People just didn't understand. They didn't hear. When the Pharisees said, quit celebrating, Jesus said, if they stop, the stones and the trees would continue. Meaning that this wasn't just a celebration for the people, but even creation itself in this moment was celebrating. Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem, starting off Holy Week. The cause for celebration wasn't just for the people, but what Jesus was about to do is for all of creation. We were thinking too small just for us, for this nation. Jesus says, no, it's for the world. How many times in our lives have we thought too small when it comes to Jesus? How many times have we thought, Christ can't do that? Jesus won't do that. That'll never happen. That can't happen. I thought small a lot of times in my life. And Jesus has proved me wrong all those times. We think small sometimes, not just as individuals, but sometimes we think too small as church. And I'm not talking just Trinity, I'm talking churches all over the world. When we look at the church statistics and look at signs of health within a church, sometimes the bottom line is the finances. If the finances are good, the church is healthy. If the finances are bad, the church is unhealthy. That thinking is so small. If the church building should burn down or we should lose it due to disrepair, we think the church is done for. The thinking's too small. The church isn't the money. The church isn't the building. The church is people held together by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That can't be destroyed nor taken away by anything in this world. Or sometimes I think as a United Methodist denomination, we think too small. Many of you have already heard me speak on this. The General Conference of the United Methodist Church meets every 4 years. Our last meeting was supposed to be 2019 or 18, I think, and it got postponed. 2020, and it got postponed due to COVID. But during that particular General Conference, we were supposed to vote on what's called the protocol, which is a legislation for the amicable separation of the United Methodist Church. Anyone who wanted to leave could leave without, you know, losing their building and things like that. And so that got postponed to 2021, this year. It has just been postponed again until 2022. And in the meantime, there is a group of United Methodists who are starting their new denomination. It's not started yet, and they said they won't start until the legislation has been voted on. It's called the Global Methodist Church. You're welcome to look it up to get more information if you would like to know. Many people have been throwing their hands up in frustration and saying, this is the end of the United Methodist Church. This is the end of the church. How small thinking that is. Jesus can do so much greater. The church will never end. The changes might happen. Changes come and go in all things, but the church will always be there. The church will always be there to serve Christ, to serve God, to be able to be a beacon of light to the world, to be able to show love and share the gospel message. The church will exist in one way, in one form or another. We will be able to worship Jesus, be able to praise God. Because what Palm Sunday teaches us is that God is so much bigger than our expectations and our imaginations, so much bigger than our creativity, so much bigger than what it is that we think is supposed to happen or going to happen. God has a way of surprising us. And that, no matter what, is reason to celebrate. Because God, being the God of love, those surprises always tend to knock us off. And even in the midst of our small thinking, thinking that it's going to be terrible, it's going to be awful, how are we going to do this, what's going to happen, Jesus is able to take us through it and to show us things we've never even imagined. Palm Sunday helps us to celebrate that and to remind us that it's not always what we see or expect. Oftentimes with Christ, it's far greater. And we can thank God for that. Leave you with this scripture, this thought. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray this day, and we do not become silent, that we do not let the stones take our job, our responsibility, our pleasure of crying out, Hosanna to you. May we celebrate you as our King this day and every day of our lives, that those who see us will know that we are yours. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of the Lord goes with you always. Amen and amen.